Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Wild Ginger Running YouTube channel, live broadcast and subsequent podcast. So this is the next episode in our new series for 2024. It's called Last Place, I'm proud of it, and it celebrates the runners who have come last on some of the UK's most famous and most brutal ultras. So this episode we'll be talking to the incredible Caroline Johnson, who is here with me now. Hi Caroline, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks, Claire.
So thanks for coming on today, Caroline. She came 38th place, a last person on the... that was the last person. You came last female in the 100K Lakes Traverse last April. So welcome to the show. What have you been up to so far today?
Just working, really, Claire, unfortunately. I got out for a bit of a walk with the dog first thing, but... sitting by my laptop like I do most days.
Yep, as we all do. Cool, so we have a lot of questions for you, Caroline. But first, I just have to do a mention to our fantastic sponsor, NAC Sports Nutrition. So they make energy bars and waffles and recovery powders and real food purees in pouches. So I'm pretty surprised that I have any of the bars and waffles left, actually, because they're really delicious and I just eat them sat at my desk. So I'll be using them on my Coventry Way 40 miler, which is the same weekend as this year's Lakes Traverse. So so I won't be attending Lakes Traverse, but it'll be really fantastic to find out all about it today. But if you want to try any NAC Sports Nutrition, go for the code WILDGINGERRUNNING for 15% off at uk.nac.com. Tadeusz says hi on the live chat, and Nadia says congratulations for finishing, and hi everyone. So yeah, welcome to the show, Caroline, and thanks so much for sparing your time to talk to us today. Let's just start rolling the clock right back and let us know, what was your journey into ultra running? Where does it all start for you?
Probably not that long ago, to be perfectly honest. I think I did my first ultra when I was in my late 40s, and I wasn't really a runner. I've done a bit of running. I've always been sporty. I played hockey till I was about 40 and tried various other sports since then. And I did do some running. I'd never done anything longer than a half marathon and had frequently expressed a view that I couldn't understand why anyone would want to run for more than 13 miles.
I totally get that. I don't either.
I think for me it was more, I liked being outside on the trails, in the hills, like getting wet and muddy. And so I really, you know, I did the Tough Mudder. I discovered the Lakeland Trails runs, which are really friendly, great introductory races for anyone who's getting into trail running. And I'd done a couple of their 15Ks. There'd been a conversation with my brother about, oh, you know, look, they do these really long races. And I again said, no way, I'm ever doing one of those.
Yeah.
And then I'm not really sure. I think there may have been a glass of wine or two involved, and then I just found myself one day having signed up for the Lakeland Trails 55K, and yeah, that was my first ultra.
Oh,
about
wow.
6 or 7 years now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, like many of us, a glass of wine is involved in these important decisions in life. I'm really glad to hear that. And so then you obviously enjoyed it, did you? What made you then sign up to the Lakes Traverse after doing that first 55K ultra? Because Lakes Traverse, bit like that's a massive deal. 100K, 62 odd miles.
It is.
With
yeah,
that ascent as well, 3,500 metres of ascent, not to be sniffed at.
Yes. So so once I'd signed up for the Lakeland Trails race, I sort of became slightly obsessed by reading and watching everything I could about ultra running. I read, you know, books by all of the kind of well-known runners. And I found the training, you know, hard. I'd never been used to sort of going out, you know, for me, an hour's run was quite a long run before I'd signed up for that.
Yeah.
But because I was frankly so terrified of, you know, what the race would involve, you know, I got myself a training program off the internet, everyone's friend, and I did follow it pretty religiously.
Oh, good for you.
For that first race. And I had a great time. The weather was kind. It was a really friendly race. It's marked. You didn't have to worry about navigating. And I really enjoyed it. And then after that, so I've done that race about three times, I think. And I discovered the sort of Chamonix UTMB and all of those races as part of my obsessive reading about ultra running.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, when I turn 50, I want to do a race in Chamonix.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sort of a big jump up. But I thought, you know, maybe I could do the shortest race that they have. And actually, I did run the MCC the year I turned 50.
Brilliant.
And it was just such a great event to be part of. You know, I don't know if you've ever been out to Chamonix for the UTMB.
Yeah, I have. It's amazing, isn't it? The atmosphere there.
And everyone's walking around. You know, they're all runners. They're all wearing weirdly their race gear and their race packs and everything the whole week. There's lots of talks. And it's just I just really enjoy being part of that. And for me, I guess it's just gone on from there, really. I love running in the Lake District. I'm lucky enough to spend a lot of time up there. And I came across the Lakes Traverse and I just thought, yeah, that would be my first 100K race. Let's give it a go.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. And so let's just talk a little bit about the Lakes Traverse for somebody who hasn't done it before. It goes from St. Bees on the coast in the Lake District all the way to Shat, and it's 3,500 metres of ascent within that 100K, and you get 30 hours to complete it. Would you say that's a generous cutoff? Or is it quite hard to reach that in that time?
I think it is a generous cutoff. I mean, I walk a lot when I do that kind of race, and I'm not a quick runner anyway. I mean, I know even from watching some of the other people you've spoken to who've come last in races, you know, they've run some fast marathons and they run a decent 10K. I pretty much only have one pace. It doesn't matter whether I'm doing a 5K park run or an ultra. You know, I'm just a bit of a jogger. Definitely lots of walking up the hills. So I think it's a generous cutoff. I think for me, the most difficult timing point was really getting to the first checkpoint, because I wanted to get a bit of time, you know, so that I wasn't sort of up against it. So I felt that I needed to run a bit more of the first section, which is the flatter part of the course when you're running along the coast and then you cut inland and sort of alongside Ennerdale there.
Yeah, lovely.
I sort of felt I need to make good progress on this section to make sure that I've got time in the bank and I don't have to think about cutoff points at all, which actually I managed to do. It probably meant that part of the course was the bit that I enjoyed the least, I think, because I was just a bit more conscious of time than I otherwise would have been. But I think once you're sort of through that, the cutoffs are generous. I faff at checkpoints. I eat a lot. You know, I'm not quick. I see people, you know, come in and they're gone in 5 minutes. That's absolutely, it's not me. But I never felt under pressure. Once I'd got the first sort of few miles under my belt, I never felt that there was any concern with timing.
Brilliant. That sounds like exactly the kind of race I enjoy, and the exact kind of pace that I enjoy running at. So what's the terrain like underfoot? It's kind of Lake District-y, but which kind of paths does it go on?
So it follows a lot of really well-marked paths, but it's quite varied, the terrain, I'd say. There was a lot of mud, you know, expect to have wet feet for a considerable period of time. Also lots of sort of more technical rocky bits as well, both sort of when you're climbing and when you're descending as well. I think, you know, I mean, hopefully most of the people who are doing it this year have had chance to get onto some similar terrain. But I think there's always a feeling that if you're going down a hill, you should be able to run a bit quicker. But actually some of the descents, you know, they are rocky and slippery. So unless you're sort of very comfortable over that sort of terrain, sometimes it can take longer to go down than it does to come up. But wet feet, that's the thing I really remember. I had wet feet pretty much the whole way around. Yeah. So be prepared for that.
Yeah. And do you wish you wore like waterproof socks or anything like that? Or were you happy with the wet feet?
So I have trained in waterproof socks. So I've worn them when I've been out for sort of 4 or 5 hours. And I've also got some neoprene socks, which are a bit like a wetsuit. I think I once heard Nikki Spinks recommend those, so I gave those a try.
Yeah.
I think I just would be worried about the comfort of them when you're out for such a long period of time. I mean, for someone like me that's, you know, 24 hours in a race, I think I prefer to wear normal socks. But you do need to be used to training with wet feet because, you know, if you've not done it before, it's not a particularly pleasant thing to do for the first time on a long race. And I did change my socks at one point during the race, which is always, I think, a good thing to do.
I like to take a spare pair of socks as well and change them just over the halfway mark, so you're like, yeah, oh, I've done a bit now. I've also, in training before, I've actually run through puddles on purpose to get fully wet feet to then do the whole of the rest of the run in wet feet, so to do exactly that. Yeah. And so, just talking about your training, actually, did you find that there were any barriers to your training, like your job? Do you have kids? You've got a dog? What sort of things held your training back that you had to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think like most people, time probably is the biggest barrier. You know, I have quite a busy job, and you know, getting up at 5:30. Dark mornings, bad weather, trying to get runs in before work because, you know, I'm hopeless after work. I can have the best intentions in the world that, oh, no, I'll run this evening, but I very rarely do. If I don't get out early, I think that's the biggest barrier. And also with my dog, I do run with her, but we don't necessarily run for as long as you need to go out and train for. But I think one of the important things to remember for something like the Traverse, especially if you run at a similar pace to me, there is a lot of walking. Okay. So it's about time on your feet as well. If you're out, you know, with your kids, with your dogs, whatever, doing a family hike at the weekend, that's all part of the training as well. I think sometimes people think, you know, you've got to be out there running, you know, your 9-minute miles or whatever, which for a lot of people is not quick. For me, that would be exceptionally fast.
Yeah, me too.
But I think, you know, time on your feet, that's a really important part of it because, you know, let's face it, none of us can go out and do a training session that's, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours long. You don't have enough time and your recovery would be too long as well. So, you know, getting out and just being on your feet, that's an important part of it as well.
Definitely. So what did your weekly training look like in a nutshell? Did you go on the mileage or the ascent, or how did you do it?
So a theoretical training week for me would probably be one long run a week, which obviously would build up. And that was definitely about how long I was out rather than the mileage I was doing. And if I could be in the Lake District doing it, so much the better. So I had covered all of the big climbs a couple of times in the run up to the race. And I think that really helped me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, probably three shorter sessions, one of which might involve, a few hill repeats or something like that. but I'm really fortunate, actually. So I've done some work with Paul Tierney, who's obviously a fantastic runner himself, as well as being a coach. And he's really good because he's really practical. And, you know, I always joke with him that I'm probably his remedial client because because of where I place the races. But, you know, just some really sound, sensible advice and doing what you can, you know. Yeah. Obviously, you need to get out there. But I think getting in that long session, whether you're running, walking or a combination of both, and trying to be on some similar terrain, yeah, I think that's really important.
And did you do, as part of that, did you do any sort of strength work at all, like yoga type Pilates stuff?
So I have strength work in my training program.
Don't we all?
Doesn't happen very often, to be honest. I think in the build-up to my first ultra, I was much better about doing that, and I do think it really helps if you have the time to do it. But for me, that was the piece that really slipped. It was like, well, I could do some strength work or I can get out for a run.
Yeah.
I think I'll just get out for a run. I do a little bit of yoga, like a 15-minute session. I try to do that three or four times a week just to help, you know, a bit with mobility and stretching. And I find that quite useful as well. But I find the less time I have, the more my training just becomes about getting your trainers on and trying to get out for a run. Everything else, in an ideal world, I'd be doing it. But honestly, I'm not really. And then certainly in the run up to the Lakes Traverse, my main focus became on trying to get out on the hills, mm-hmm, and just do some climbing and descending, because as you mentioned, it's got a lot. Once you get that first section to Ennerdale out of the way, you're pretty much either going uphill or downhill, so you need to be ready for that.
Oh, it sounds brilliant. I think it's on my to-do list for next year now. So when you were doing that training out on the hill, were you specifically recceing parts of the course there? Were there any bits of the course that you would recommend recceing to anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I did manage to recce quite a bit of it. Not really the first section out on the coast, but I'm fortunate enough to spend quite a bit of time up in the lakes around the Keswick area. So I did the sort of the section from Honister over to Patterdale. So quite a big part of the middle section. I managed to do that a couple of times. And it works well for me as well, because you get buses to the start and finish. It's always a tricky drive.
Really, really handy, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I think actually that was a good section to do. I mean, particularly from Rothwaite to climb up over Grasmere Common and then to climb back up over to Patterdale.
Yeah.
That's a really difficult section. Mm-hmm. And it definitely helped me sort of mentally to have already been over that and to know what I was expecting.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it, when you can get to somewhere in a race and go, no, I do know what I'm doing here. Especially if you're feeling a bit tired than normal because you've already done a few miles.
I think so. And for me on the climbs, I mean, I'm not fast going up the hills, but if I've been on them and I know it's going to take me, you know, 2.5 hours to get to the top of it, I can just sort of get my head down and get on with it. I think it's, for me, what I find hard is when you're thinking, God, are we at the top? Yeah, are we at the top? Whereas if I know it's going to take me 2.5 hours.
You can sort of like just dig in and just steady away. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got some a nice comment from Neil Timms on the live chat. He says, Caroline gets good value for money at all the aid stations.
Yes, absolutely.
He's just picking up on when you said a while ago that you stopped at the aid stations. Yeah. So did you do any races in training in the build up to this race, or was it just that you went straight from the 55K Lakeland Trails one a couple of times to then doing the Lakeland Traverse?
So I did I hadn't entered the Lakes Traverse at this point, but I have done Lakes in a Day, which is a 50 mile race as well, and again has quite a lot of climbing in. So that's, you know, that's another really great race. I don't know whether you've done that one. It's a really lovely route, and timing, but, you know, it's a good race to do.
Is that Open Adventure that organised that one?
I can't remember, to be honest, but yeah. it's a really good 50 mile race. You know, with plenty of climbing, so it really helps to kind of get to know the terrain. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I didn't really have chance to do many races in the run up to that. So it really was for me just getting out there on my own into the hills.
Yeah, it's quite an early one, isn't it, in the year? It's like 7th of April this year. So it's next weekend, isn't it? Not this weekend, but next weekend. Yeah, hence why we're chatting now, just in case anybody wants to listen beforehand and get a few top tips from you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, if you're like me and you spend a lot of time in races on your own, it's also helpful if you've been out on your own on the fells and you're not sort of spooked by that, because, you know, it can feel quite overwhelming, particularly if there's some bad weather around and what have you. So, you know, definitely for people to be prepared for that. I chat to the sheep, you know.
Yeah, once on, I was doing a race and it was at night time, and a sheep very clearly said Claire like that. It was just going meh, but I was convinced it said Claire, and it was a real shock, I tell you. So overall, how did you feel that your training went for the Lakes Traverse? Were you happy with how you got on, or were you a bit nervous on the start line?
I mean, I think I was nervous, but by the time the race came around, you know, I was looking forward to it and just sort of wanting to get started, really. I think the sort of 2 or 3 days in the run-up when, you know, you've packed and unpacked your kit for the 50th time and all of those things, you know, I was ready to get going. I mean, I think, honestly, it would have been better if I could have done some more running. But because I'd managed to get out on the big climbs and I felt confident that I could, you know, deal with those, I think mentally I was in quite a good place. You know, it was just, well, I'm not going to be fast, but I'm certain I can get to the end of it.
Yeah, awesome. And you did. And that's why we're talking to you today. So we've got Jade who's watching live, and she's doing the race next weekend. She says she hasn't had a chance to get out for a recce, but she has been out in the Brecon Beacons in awful weather a few weeks back. So she's hoping that that counts as well. But I know she just recently completed the Arc of Attrition 50, so I think she'll be absolutely fine.
I think she'll definitely be fine.
Yeah, the cutoffs on that are brutal. I'm liking the sound of the Lakes Traverse for those bit gentler cutoffs. So you felt okay standing on the start line. Let's just go through a few highs and lows during the race. Did you have any points where you just thought, oh, this is incredible, I love this, like maybe there was a great view, or you just felt brilliant, or a sheep provided some particularly scintillating conversation? What made you super happy during the race?
I mean, I think for me, one of the high points, as I mentioned earlier, I was a little bit worried about the cutoff time to that first checkpoint, which is about 50K in. And you sort of think, God, you know, I do races that are 50K. We're not going to get to a checkpoint 50K. Yeah. I was a bit worried about that. But I think once we'd gone past Ennerdale and climbed up onto the tops there, sort of going along towards the Honister Pass, because I was a couple of hours up on the estimated time that I'd had in my head.
Brilliant.
You know, I just started to relax. It's really beautiful up there. It was pretty clear. You know, the views were good. I had a Mars bar when I finished the climb. You know, it was just what, you know, I enjoyed going along there, and I knew that, you know, I was fine for time. And if I was fine for time at that point, I didn't have to think about it again. And, you know, I could just sort of take in the surroundings and enjoy it. But I think, you know, I always love being up on the tops. So whenever you've mastered one of the climbs and then you're just up on the tops for a while, I just think it's so fantastic to be out there and running in a place like that. It's really great.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do love ridge running along those ridges. And so with it, that sounds really.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lovely, but were there any low points to the race and how did you get through them?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, really. I mean, there are obviously, there's plenty of time when you don't feel that great, but that, you know, that's part of ultra running. And you know, you sort of know that you just have to keep moving, and at some point, hopefully, you'll start to feel a bit better. Mm-hmm. I think coming down towards the checkpoint at Patterdale, which is the last aid station, I'd not been eating that well for the sort of hour or so in the run up to that. It was, you know, dark by then, and I felt like I was starting to get some blisters on my wet feet.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, you know, it was never a point when I thought, you know, I'm not sure if I can finish, but I was conscious that when I got into that last aid station, I needed to do a bit of repair work on my feet and just try and get some proper food inside me. So that was probably the point at which I felt kind of the most tired. I mean, there were some points coming in the last few miles, but I knew I was doing the last few miles then, so that it was okay. The wheels started to fall off at that point.
Yeah, and you don't really care at that point, do you? Like, if you've got a blister, I can't be bothered to sort that out. I'm done in a few miles. Whether if it was like 10 miles to go, you'd be like all over it. So did you, at that Patterdale, how far is that from the end then, Patterdale to Shap? I can't think what that might be.
It's about, it's still a fair distance. I think it's about 20K, something like that.
Okay. So still a good 13 miles
to get over as well. So
did you say Kidsty Pike to get over?
Yes, okay, so there
you've done a lot, but you've still got quite a fair bit to go. And so did you have to stop there and like take shoes off and deal with those blisters? How did you get over that conundrum?
So that's exactly what I did. I that was where I changed my socks as well, so I taped up my feet as best I could, put my dry socks on. Absolutely wonderful volunteer who heated up some rice pudding for me.
Oh, lovely. I was thinking, what's he going to heat up to do with her feet? Like, heated up some rice pudding for her feet, for a foot bath? No.
Yeah. So I was having my feet up eating warm rice pudding because they had rice pudding and I was devastated. He obviously saw it in my face and he said, oh, I know where there's a microwave if you'd like me to heat you some. So that was the food I got down. It's a bit of a running joke. I eat a lot on my races.
You should.
You know, I think I'm the only person that puts weight on when they're doing the race.
Oh, I don't know. I could give you a good run for your money there, I think. You mentioned that you had a Mars bar on one of the points where you were feeling high and you were like got to the top and at a Mars bar. So what kind of food do you eat on the races like this?
Yeah, so I'm very much a real food person. I think when I first started doing ultras, you know, I experimented with gels and protein bars and all those good things. But honestly, I find them quite hard to get down. I think I was listening to another podcast and someone was saying that their food looks a bit like a kid's party. And to be honest, that's pretty much what mine looks like. I like a sandwich, a cheese sandwich, yeah. Salt and vinegar crisps, you know, some nice Jaffa cakes.
That's why we do it, isn't it? So that we can eat all this lovely food. Yeah, I remember I ran, what was it, that race that Joe Faulkner used to organise, the Lakes 40, and the Helvellyn, that Helvellyn one at Christmas time. The Helvellyn, it was 38 miles.
Helvellyn or whatever
it's called. Tour of Helvellyn, that was it. And I remember eating a quiche on that. I just brought a vegetarian quiche with me and I just had a quiche and I was running along eating this quiche and I did have all the packaging and everything. That was the mistake. I should have put it in a bit of a bag, but you live and you learn. And I've eaten like veggie burgers as well in tinfoil and delicious, absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I think, you know, I see I'm on a WhatsApp group for some of the runners that Paul works with, and I see them all talking about, you know, tailwind and all the different
10 grams of this and 30 grams of that. Yeah.
And I always just think, it's just not for me.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. And like, the podcast is sponsored by NAC. So now I've got all this NAC stuff. And the reason that I like it is because it doesn't taste like all that other, all the other stuff that people keep sending me to try. It tastes like, you know, the bars that I was saying about at the beginning. Yeah. Honestly, they're nice just to eat as like a flapjack type bar. That's the reason that I like those. But if they weren't like that, then if it was just gels, they don't actually do any gels. If it was gels, I wouldn't be interested. So I'm getting this image of you at that last checkpoint feeling a bit sorry for yourself and then getting on with it and having your hot rice pudding. What's it like, are there other people around? Because you weren't actually the last person on this race, you're the last female on this race, otherwise it's just going to be all blokes the whole year. I wanted to get a different input. So what's it like, are there people around at this checkpoint? Are there other runners that you're chatting to over the course of the race?
Yeah, so there were other people around, and you know, one of the things I like about these races is that everyone is really friendly and really supportive. So there were two or three groups of runners that, you know, sort of kept changing places with, or one of us would get into the checkpoint first, the other one would leave first, and you know, so you sort of see a lot of the same faces as you're going along, and everyone is really chatty. I mean, obviously the volunteers, who were always amazing, they were really good as well. The guy who was last, I forget his name, but he was basically getting his sleeping bag out to have a bit of a kip in the corner of the station because he was really tired.
So
you don't feel, you know, that you're sort of on your own, or that, you know, people are waiting to pack up behind you or anything like that. You know, and I think, you know, any of these kinds of races, there aren't very many people who do them. So if you do it and you finish it, you're still way ahead of, you know, most of the population. So, you know, I think there's always people around. Everyone's really encouraging, and it's just nice to have that interaction.
Yeah, definitely. And it does sound like a really lovely supportive race in a sort of a communal way. And then what's the navigation like? Is it fairly straightforward?
So I'm rubbish at navigation, which is one of the reasons why I really like to recce courses. It's not too bad, actually. The only point really I got confused on was sort of the top sections of Kidsty Pike. And that was, I think, because it was both dark, but also the fog had come down by then as well. Yeah. So a path that I think is probably reasonably straightforward to follow in the daylight, you couldn't really see very well at all. And of course your light was reflecting back at you because of the fog. And when I looked at my GPS afterwards, I could see that I'd sort of gone round in circles for about 20 minutes on the top looking for the path off.
Yeah.
So for anyone that expects to get there, it's gone dark. You know, that is sort of a slightly trickier section. You know, and I had it on my phone, and you know, people obviously have GPS on their watches and all of those good things. So I think broadly it's not too difficult to navigate that one, the paths are good, but obviously, as I say, once it goes dark, it becomes a bit trickier.
Yeah, and your head torches are out. But yes, if it's foggy, then that's not helpful, is it? And yeah. So do you prefer to have the navigation on your phone then rather than your watch?
So I don't have any navigation on my watch. It's not it's not new enough to
Yeah.
So if I need to use navigation, then yeah, I'll put it on my phone. I've reached that age now where I can't see my phone without my glasses, so I find the whole thing just a massive faff, which is why I always try to recce as much as possible so I don't have to bother.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah, and if you live in the lakes, that's a lot easier to do, and you're quite familiar with the area anyway, so like then when you've done a few races, you're sort of just jigsawing together stuff you've already done, presumably. So what do you use on your phone for the navigation if you should have to get it out? Do you use OS Maps or ViewRanger?
So I've used OS Maps before. I find that quite helpful. I think for the Lakes Traverse, they had an agreement with one of the other companies. I'm just trying to remember. I don't know anyone who's watching who's doing it. I think that there was one, Avenza Maps, I think maybe it was.
Oh, right, okay.
We got free access, so you could download the app and have it on your phone. That was quite easy to use as well.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds really good, especially if the race has got something there for you. It just makes the whole thing easier. I remember back in the day, I'm sure Joe Faulkner's races, you weren't allowed to use GPS on those Tour de Helvellyn and stuff. And I remember just using a bog standard map. Because that was back in the day before many people even had GPS watches. And still now, I don't even know how to use them. I'm rubbish at navigating with them. So I love that OS Maps because it's an actual little map on your phone. And exactly. You can zoom in on it, and now I find if I've got a paper map, I find myself doing that funny double fingered thing to try and zoom in on it, and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
gone over to the digital side. But I do want to just let you know a nice comment that's just come in on the live chat. Jay Jassel says, so nice listening to her. I have been to the Lake District and I can imagine what a lovely experience it would be to run there. Thanks for getting her on the show. So you have an admirer there, Caroline.
Nice.
So we're coming on to the last parts of the race. Did you know at any point that you were the last lady to finish? Like, was it on your mind? Like, did it ever cross your mind that you were going to be the last lady?
I never thought about it, to be honest. I knew obviously that there were, not too many people behind me at that point. I think there was a group of runners that had a couple of women in that was not that far away. And I think I'd got into the last checkpoint before they did, but I spent so long, you know, eating rice pudding and shaving my feet that they were out ahead of me. And I could see them sort of once or twice. I think I came relatively close to them. But I just didn't think about it, didn't worry about it. To be honest, I was just sort of, you know, focused on what I was doing and getting it finished, hoping that when the daylight came up that I'd be in the right place next to a lake, which I was, because, you know, when it's dark, you're never entirely certain if you've come down a hill in the right place. So.
Yeah, just fingers crossed.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to do the race? Can you remember how many hours it took?
I think it was about 25 hours in the end. I think a little bit earlier on in the night, I'd thought it would probably be 24 or just under the 24. But once I'd sort of got a bit lost on the top of Kidsty Pike and, you know, fell in a couple of bogs later on, you know, you just sort of think, well, you know, I finish when I finish. I'm well ahead of the cutoff. I don't need to worry. So.
Yeah, that's incredible. 5 hours ahead of the cutoff. This is exactly the kind of race that I love. Like when I did the Arc of Attrition, it was a completely different style of racing. It was like the whole race, I felt anxious about the cutoffs and I was just going hell for leather. And that's not really how I like to race. So I'm thinking that the Lakes Traverse might be the perfect one for me.
And it's a fantastic route as well. It really is lovely.
Yeah, good views.
You know, when you think that most people, if they're walking the coast to coast, probably spend about 3 days.
doing that a bit. So, yeah. Yeah. It's a hell of an effort. It's amazing. And so how did you feel crossing the finish line?
I felt a bit emotional, to be honest. As we came into Shap, I expected the finish to be on the right-hand side. There's a little town hall or something there. And then I was looking and thinking, I can't see it. Yeah. It was actually on the side of the road in a different some description. But yeah, my partner was there and the dog to greet me. And yeah, I felt a bit tearful. I think because it was the longest race I'd done and, mm-hmm. you know, the longest amount of time that I'd been out. I felt a bit tearful.
Yeah, and you were probably really tired as well.
I was tired, yeah.
And you probably hadn't had enough Mars bars.
That was it. I'd stopped eating, I think, by that point.
Yeah, just fed up of it, yeah. And so was there anything that you wished you'd done differently, like either in your training or during the race itself?
I'm not sure there is, to be honest. I mean, I'm not saying I had a perfect race because I don't really think they exist. I mean, you know, more time to get some more runs in would have been great, but whether I would really have finished that much quicker,
Was that even the aim?
No. I mean, I was just, I'm doing a 100-kilometre race, you know.
Yeah, the distance and the completion.
I didn't have interest in how long it took or anything else. It was just about, you know, getting to the finish. And you know, I think you can do a lot mentally when you're getting ready for these races as well, because, you know, you will feel rubbish some of the time. It's just part of it, as you know, and just knowing that you just have to keep going and you'll get to the end. That's, you know, how it is. My feet were a mess afterwards. I have to say that was the worst thing. The bottom of my feet were just a mass of blisters.
Oh, gosh, yeah. How did you walk on them with such pain? Or was it that thing where you can race and you can run on them and then as soon as you stop, you're like, I can't take another step?
Yeah, that exactly. When it came to taking off my shoes, I was just like, no, I can't do this. It's too painful.
Yeah, but on the race itself, was it really painful? And how did you get through it?
I think you just sort of blank it out, don't you? It's just like, well, yes, my feet are sore, but, you know, never mind. I just have to keep going, have another Mars bar, you know, whatever it is.
Yes. I'll think about my hot rice pudding and everything will feel good. Yeah. So with your feet so trashed at the end of the race, how did the recovery go after the race?
So my feet were definitely the worst part of it, I think, for the next sort of 10 days or so. They were quite raw, which made it difficult to walk about much. I mean, obviously I was very tired because I walk so much in the race. You know, I probably wasn't as stiff as other people might be. I had a week off afterwards, which was quite nice, I think it was this Easter's early this year, isn't it? I think it was actually the first weekend in April, the race last year, and I did have the week off afterwards, so I was able to take it easy. But I didn't have any injuries other than the blisters, which obviously just need a bit of time. Lost a couple of toenails. That's, again, pretty normal when you do stuff.
Yeah.
Just getting out and doing, you know, some short walks with the dog and just trying to keep moving a little bit each day, really. But I don't think I ran for probably 3 or 4 weeks afterwards.
Yeah, that sounds like a good recovery. And do you have any tips for anyone? Like, is there just like one thing you'd suggest that they do more of in training for this race in particular that would help them?
I mean, I guess it's a bit late for anyone that's doing it.
Oh, yeah,
late
it is.
Now, yeah. But I think being ready for the hills, that's really the big thing. You know, I've done a lot of trail races where you can hear people around you, you know, making comments saying, well, this isn't runnable, this is ridiculous, you know, and actually, if you're not used to that kind of terrain, I think it would be quite hard mentally. I think, you know, as I said before, once the first section is over, you're pretty much either going uphill or downhill.
Yeah.
So being ready for that is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I don't know how I'd do that being around here. Maybe a load of hill reps or just going up and down my normal 1 kilometre hill. Maybe that would help.
Yeah. Yeah. It all counts.
Yeah, it definitely does. And what's next for you in 2024? Have you still got the ultra running bug? Are you booked anything else ultra-wise this year?
Yeah, so definitely still got the bug. And actually last summer I did a 42-mile race, the Kong Ultra, also up in the lakes, which is another really nice race. Again, I was the last female, but I was also... I got a prize for being the third female vet 50 back. So, you know, I came over the line thinking, thank God I've finished. And they said, oh, you've won a prize. So that was...
That's fantastic.
That was exciting, even though I was last. So I was very happy about that. But
a whole nother series for next year. Last place and on the podium.
Yeah, that's it. I think you have to find races with a really small list of entrants for that to work. I think there were only about 30 people or so did that one.
Oh, yeah, or just hardly any women entering.
Yeah.
And just interview all the women. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I've entered a 50-mile race, which is not until September, so I've got plenty of time because I haven't done that much training over the winter, but it's called Dig Deep. It's a race in the Peak District.
I know so, that set of races. Yeah, I've done them. I can't remember what distance it was, but I did one of them. Yeah, I was just looking at them the other day. That sounds great. Yeah. Which distance are you going for?
For the 50 miles.
Oh,
so
yes.
I'm looking forward to that. And actually, that does have slightly shorter cut-off times. So that's my worry about that at the moment is, I'm going to have to go a bit quicker than normal.
Yeah.
Less thing at checkpoints, I think, is the key thing for me.
Yeah, that would be a really easy place to cut down time, wouldn't it? Rather than boosting the training, just like get more efficient at the checkpoints. Like you could always like take a little bag, can't you, and just stuff a load of things in and eat them on the way out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I've got some quick fire questions for you before we go today. So first of all, I think I can guess what you're going to say already to this: flapjack or gels?
Flapjack.
All the way. But this one, more of a wild card. After the race, beer or wine to celebrate?
Wine, always.
Excellent. Kindle or real book?
Well, you see, I'm a recent convert to the Kindle. I do like real books, but it's a pain to carry them around. So I am now a Kindle owner.
Excellent. Especially for holidays when you want to take about 20.
Exactly.
Yeah. Music on your run? Like headphones or bird song. Excellent. True traditional. Camping or glamping?
I'm a definite glamper, I'm afraid.
Brilliant. And do you prefer a seaside run or a mountain run?
A mountain run, definitely.
Amazing. Some people have gone for both on that, like on the Isle of Man there's some mountains by the seaside.
Yeah, but, and the lakes first, obviously you get both as well, so it's the perfect combo.
That is, yeah. And would you call yourself an ultra runner or an ultra hiker?
So I'm always slightly dubious about calling myself an ultra runner, even though I've done about 10 or so races, but I don't know that I'd describe myself as an ultra hiker either. I think I normally say I do ultras. I'm not sure what that precisely means.
Yeah, I do ultras. I just get them done on foot by whatever means that I can.
Yes, yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, thank you for answering the quickfire questions. So just before we say goodbye to Caroline today, I just need to remind everyone that the broadcast and podcast is sponsored by NAC Sports Nutrition, who make the long-lasting and sustainable energy bars, waffles and drinks using high-quality ingredients. So if you want to try them out, use code WILDGINGERRUNNING for 15% off at uk.nac.com. And so thank you very much, Caroline. It has been a really great pleasure to chat to you today about the Lakeland Traverse, and I'm wishing you all the best in your 2024 ultra endeavours.
Thanks, Claire, and good luck to everyone who's doing the race. I'm sure you'll have a fantastic time.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Caroline, and goodbye, everyone.
Hold up.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.